are joining We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Ooh, Bob's got all the volume over there. Nice.
He's got more volume going on over there.
Yeah.
He's got buttons on buttons.
All the music will come from Bob, just in case you haven't listened to the show
bass
before.
Control.
Bass control.
Yeah. Is that bass control
to Major Tom?
Yeah. Stop it.
I knew that too.
That's ground control.
And now, hey, look, it works. And besides that, look, the government shutdown's being blamed on President Trump because he's not enough like George Washington. So, frankly, I think anything goes at this point.
Yeah, tomorrow chaos will ensue.
Exactly.
That's what I heard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you have a little celebration of capitalism to
do. Yes, we do. This hour is sponsored by Team Power, your local John Deere and Kubota dealer. And right now is a great time to give them a call and get your mowers and tractors in there for a service. They're running some service specials. You can get yourself a discount on labor. And get in there before they get boxed up and weeks behind. We have coming in late February, March, they'll be so backed up in there, you'll be a couple of weeks getting your stuff worked on. But if you get it in there now, they can get right on it.
Hey, and as of yesterday, you can call them and leave a message.
And leave a message. We have a new voicemail system in there, and you can call and leave a message. We'll get back to you and make an appointment to get your stuff fixed up. So that's Team Power, 3119 Twinview Boulevard, and you can call them at 226-9226.
Ta-da!
There you go.
All righty. And you can find us online. And that's actually kind of important, unless you're not an online person, in which case it's not that important. But if you would like to listen to some past shows, we've got tons of them. All the commercials have been taken out. We have De-Celebrated Capitalism in the archives. Robert Exter does that for us. Thanks, Robert. And you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us.
There you are.
And what's happening in our telephone? Do we have our hostage in there?
Bruce is standing by, yes.
Bruce!
I'm looking for myself, but I'm here. Here I am.
So we have one of those rare opportunities where it's just you today, so we don't have any audio problems, we don't have any of that. We just have you telling us interesting stuff that we're not going to hear in the news.
Well, there are several areas that are really hot, but I like to focus on issues and concerns that are not well addressed in the media because they're all, you know, short, quick points, you know, talking points that do not really identify the larger issue that the president or the cabinet is dealing with. And
you mean not everything can be dealt with in 2 minutes, or and if you can't,
well, they really do cut off the more salient points, and a lot of the issues and concerns are politicized. So, I hope you receive from me the talking points, you know, the topics I want to cover today.
Uh-huh.
Did you take a look at your?
I did, but I didn't see him. Okay, I'll do a search right now, and then I'll post him. So you'll have
okay,
to.
Okay, one of the things is economic freedom.
Oh, yes.
That's the biggest issue that we ever deal with.
Oh, here it is.
Okay, and that's put out by the Economic Freedom Index. It's put out by the Heritage Foundation and Wall Street Journal. But there's much more to it than that, because that's what the U.S. State Department kind of looks at what to do to have its policy and programs for funding. That's what we do as a country to provide our individual sovereignty. And what does that mean? Our individual liberties, our individual freedoms, and our individual rights. So if you look at what I, you know, am presenting here, we're looking at how do countries govern? What are the important parts of the governance that sustain individual sovereignty? And you got to, you know, hand it to the Heritage Foundation, because economic freedom is how they've been running their show from, you know, day one, with Ed Follner, Ed Meese, Bill Mittendorf, the founders and the leaders of the Heritage Foundation. So what I'm trying to convey here is the American people are left aside from understanding what the heavy stuff that people are, you know, taking to task in the executive branch. And let's go over, you know, how do you look at economic freedom as relates to society? Let's call it a civil opportunity society. Francis Brigham Johnson and I put together this, and we presented it to the Coalition Provisional Authority back in 2005 as a guideline to help Iraq get off the ground. But it's also just not for Iraq. It's basically how to deal with failed states, third world nations, and developing countries. So what we're looking at is how do Americans see what we do abroad as a viable means to conduct foreign policy. And economics is part of it. Military is part of it. Diplomacy is part of it. Intelligence is part of it. But this is the broader-based knowledge that people need to understand that has to be in place if we're going to get involved in countries and help ourselves bring immigration people, you know, refugees and different parts of other people who have special considerations to come into our country on board. Do they respect the civil opportunity society? Do they respect economic freedom? And that's, are they assimilating into the country, and do they understand what they're assimilating into? Now, does that make sense?
Yeah, and without you know, without turning it into a political football, how do you think that's, I think it, in my estimation, it worked well years ago, and it's working less well now, as far as people assimilating. I think the, I think that was the expectation years ago. You came here to be an American, so go ahead and be, you know, Italian or Jewish or, you know, whatever you were, but you're still an American. And now, it's almost like we, you know, that America needs to bow to their culture, and we need to somehow have concurrent cultures with all these people, or we're mean-spirited, hateful, blah, blah, blah.
That's the trend. It changed, and it became a, I don't want to call it politically correct, but a socially accepted, it is politically correct now, but it's a socially accepted way to think about how our culture has evolved. And to think of our culture evolving is not the correct stance. Our culture is fundamentally strong in its traditional values and traditional customs. So what we're looking at is we have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights, we have a Declaration of Independence, and that's how we found it. People fought and died for that. That's what President Trump's been talking about the whole time on this, you know, everywhere he goes. You know, that's what he's arguing for protecting the borders and, you know, doing the right for, you know, the immigration laws. But the politicization of this is just beyond the scope of what we would ever have dreamed of, you know, 20 years ago. It's gotten so bad. And why has it gotten so bad? I mean, what has changed in the tenure of the last 20, 30 years that we have to be more concerned about our national security than not? What would you think would be the...
I mean, there's a lot
of... Top five...
Well, I mean, we have a terrorism threat that we didn't really deal with years ago because... I don't know. I'm sure there were many factors, but...
Well, the
no,
border.
We didn't have it.
Chief among them, though, was we just didn't have worldwide communication. You know,
right.
there was no big advantage to coming here and doing some kind of terrorist attack to be a hero back home because no one was ever going to hear about it.
Yes.
So, you know, in a weird way, the global dialogue, I guess, has encouraged some of that. And then, you know, we seem to be unwilling... We got rid of profiling and things that actually work for places like Israel. That's been very successful there, and they keep, you know, explaining to us, you know, if somebody looks like they might cause a problem, you should take them at their, you know, take them at their word, as they say.
That's what Chuck and I always talk about, as you know. It's not, you know, people call it profiling, but you have to get a background
that
on people.
But we do that all day long.
I mean, we do biometrics. We need to do biometrics, you know, at the border. Everybody have an ID card. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's nothing impractical.
No, and people who are never going to work in national security do this all day, every day.
Well, you look at law enforcement. I mean, they look at somebody, and just from their body language, the way they're dressed, the way they speak, all these things give them some signals to look out for.
Look at as a parent, okay? So let's just say you're never ever going to have to make a call like that. You're not in law enforcement, you're not in national security, you're never going to work at the airport. But you know what? If you have kids or you're carrying valuables, you know, which could be your kids, you pay attention. You look around and you make decisions which side of the street you walk on, who you talk to, who you don't talk to. We make value judgments like that all the time.
Yeah, 24/7, just to be mentally prepared if something goes wrong.
And to
That's
avoid.
That's what we're taught in kids. That's
sure.
why my uncles taught me. He said, watch out. Look where you're going.
Well, it's
Look
funny.
Out for strangers.
Well, remember in the olden days, since, you know, we are all universally old here. I had a phone number as a kid that started with Hudson, so, you know, yeah, I'm like old. The thing is, you were told, I remember my parents saying that, you know, be discriminating. And it's funny because that used to be a good word. That used to mean make good choices.
Sift right from wrong.
Yeah, sift the good choices from the bad choices. And it's funny because we were driving here this morning, I mean, on a highway that had 7 cars, probably, maybe 10. And there was this guy, okay, back bumpers are dented in, side windows are way too dark, illegally dark, front windshield is like bashed in, looked like it was bashed in with a rock, and they're over the line, and it, okay, so we decided let's not drive by those people.
Yeah, you profiled him.
I did. I profiled him.
Yeah.
Actually, I called him a pothead.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I was like, pothead,
yep.
Driving like a pothead.
So my ninja cockroach trained 6 others, too, just to do this, so we can talk today.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
I posted your topics,
yeah, now
we
got a team that can travel around and work with the, you know, government and do all kinds of things. They're halo jumpers now, too.
Oh. Well,
yeah, they can jump, you know, 30,000 and nobody knows where they're coming from. These cockroaches will land on you. Yep. Watch out, baby.
They're coming. Hey, I posted your points here on the webpage. And, hey, in my own defense, you sent them at 12:08. I was thinking you sent them, like, yesterday, and I was like...
No. I had voluminous information there.
I know.
And I cut this down. And there was a lot of things I wanted to talk about, but yeah. I chose an hour, and then there were things I wrote there. I said, that could be better expressed a different way.
All right. And we can roll over if we want. We left some wiggle room.
Oh, yeah, sure. However you want to do it. I'm not tied to anything, you know.
Nice. Well, okay. We've got to take a really quick break and celebrate a little capitalism, and then we'll come back and get right on it. So we are here with our guest, Bruce Moran, and if you haven't listened to our program before, Bruce is a senior national security advisor who focuses on strategic planning for national security issues.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them? Can't hide your eyes and hate.
There's always a song for it.
Yep.
Always a song lurking in there.
Yeah, speaking of national security, I see where the U.S. has issued a warning for five Mexican states. If you're in the resort areas, don't leave the resorts.
That's in Jamaica. You can't leave the resort.
Well, yeah, even in Mexico, I think there's five states in Mexico. They said,
on here too.
Be very careful.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, we could be like them. I mean, you know, and just don't go outside the wire, as they say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're profiling.
I know.
Exactly. How ridiculous, even though we do it all day. Okay, so I'm sorry. Let's go back to your...
that's a Rain real national concern, national security concern. I'm laughing as I'm crying at the same time here because we're trying to do the best we can, and we're not really doing a good job. Congress is impeding us, you know, and one of it is the border protection, immigration. It's the whole down the line. National security causes and effects that we're looking at that's impacting our, you know, criminal system, our justice system. You know, we got the whole idea behind the statutory requirements and the enforcement on the border. But I mean, we also have to look at the ways that individuals on the borders themselves are being impacted, and they don't like it at all. These are our fellow American citizens, and who I've talked to. Been with on the borders. What the heck is going on with the federal government? You know, we have, you know, 70% of the country not on the border, you know, or, you know, they live in areas and they don't know how the people feel on the borders. That's a travesty.
No, it is. And I think so much of it, I don't know if you would agree with this, but. So much of it is just optics. They don't want to do it because it's not going to look good. They know what they need to do. They know what works. But if they do it, there's going to be hell to pay. We can't, you know, it's going to look bad. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
It doesn't look bad if they're doing the right thing for the right reason for national security.
Right.
Because here's the reason. I got to take this down to the basic fundamental fact of what national security is.
That's for you,
Bill. It's protecting individual rights, freedoms, and liberties, all Americans across the board. We're talking about Americans. And who are you talking about? You're talking about people crossing the border, the immigrants.
Right.
You know, illegal aliens. And
you can't use that term.
That's the issue that's being argued daily. And it's DACA or chain migration, you know, different things of that sort. And to me, that's superfluous to national security.
It should be.
Security has to be first and foremost for every American individual citizen.
So are we talking undocumented Americans? Because I heard that the other day on the news, too, that these poor undocumented Americans are being picked on.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of people that overstay their visas, you know. We have a lot of people that come in to the universities that just stay.
Yeah. Doesn't make them Americans, you know, though.
And I'm saying, if you lived in another foreign country, I traveled a lot. Okay. And if I was over my visa for 5 days, I was fine. If I was over for 7 to 10 days in other countries, I had to, you know, re-register, pay the fines.
So you couldn't just get on welfare and make them pay your rent and stay there for years and then demand that the entire country accommodate you?
A driver's license and Social Security.
Yeah.
So that gets back to my first point when we were talking about economic freedom and respect for the country's rights and obeying the laws, both civil and criminal. People that come here don't do that. And that's part of the way our country is structured. That's our national heritage. That's our function. And that's what you were talking about earlier as, are they assimilating? No, they're getting over, and they want to use the system to the best of their advantage. And if they can become a citizen, yes. If they don't, and they can stay here, they don't have to be a citizen, that's okay.
Yeah, but
that's
the trend,
okay in my books.
But like, the trend is to come here and take advantage of our system, but they want to bring their culture with them.
But then if they get called on it, you know, and there's some discussion about sending people back or whatever, then they demand to be granted citizenship because that's only right. And what are we, monsters?
That is true also.
Where does that
happen?
Can
you tell me what you know about what happened in California last week when they raided those homes where they're bringing the woman in from China that were due to do the, you know, have the baby here?
I didn't see the story, but are these the, you come here when you're pregnant so that you can have a child who is considered American because they're born here?
Anchor babies,
yeah,
anchor babies,
thank you. And then the baby can essentially sponsor everyone into the country.
Three or four hotels that were doing this. They're dedicated to bringing people in, and I think there's a lot of illegal activity that went on there with the documentation in the first place to come in to say why you're coming to the United States, and then how they stayed here, and then not only how they stayed here, who was helping them stay here, and the doctors that administered to them.
But it's big money. I mean, in some of the cases, this is a big,
absolutely
big money program. So we just live
illegal.
Here.
What? Nobody cares about that. I was watching this happen. And I said the agents went in there and I read the article, but to me there was a lot of heavier issues that needed to be addressed. Is why that was allowed to happen. So people had to know this was going on. It's pretty obvious.
Obviously not in our end of the state, but yeah, the headline says it was a maternity hotel where quote, tourists paid up to $80,000 to give birth in the U.S.
Isn't there something called illegal activity going on there?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
what
if it's not,
heck?
It should be. I mean, that's just not right.
So that's why I get back to what I was talking about.
Says they were luxury maternity hotels.
Luxury maternity hotels. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, that's different.
That's different.
Okay.
Tom Odette was nowhere to be found.
Tom Odette. They definitely left the light on for him.
So we have all the people that facilitate it. The caretakers that there to help them in the building.
Motel plus one.
See what I'm saying? There's nurses. There's doctors. There's a whole slew of physicians that do... pediatrics, after they have the baby. So what are we looking at here? If they know this is going on and those people who are physicians are helping them, why don't they get called on the rug? What happens now that all these people know that this illicit activity is going on, and what do they do with these people? They shouldn't be allowed to stay here.
No.
And the people that are assisting that, I mean, they're helping people break the law. It's no different than any other law. They should be prosecuted right along with
the ones.
Well,
there's always been a big discussion every time the immigration thing comes up about that type of citizenship.
But we have like a incubator system going on here.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, that's bad. What does it say about American citizens who need those monies to make a living? And they themselves want to have babies. And they themselves want to have a better house and have their kids go to school. And these people are coming here and doing that?
Well, if they couldn't...
Not respecting our laws?
Well, if we got rid of the chain migration and they couldn't then sponsor all their relatives into the country, I would imagine some of that would go away on its own.
Yeah, but you have to enforce it full breadth.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, agreed.
That's why I'm saying it's... Everything is footloose and fancy free, and you can't do that. And that's what we've been talking about in terms of the overall broad national security interest and how economic freedom is being taken away from Americans. And all these other people are taking advantage of it. They're coming out into the United States. They're using our system. They're not assimilating. They're coming on welfare. I mean, there's statistics on this, and we need to find out more about who these people are, what they're doing, and how they're doing it in order to, address these issues in a very serious manner. Just not talk about them on TV and say they're, how are we going to do this today?
Yeah.
How are we going to do this tomorrow? If you look at the quote I wrote there by Thomas Paine, did you see that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
It says... a long habit of not thinking the thing is wrong gives it appearance that it is right.
Yeah, you know, that is kind of the poster quote for the immigration debate.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about on overall broad national security. People aren't addressing national security issues. A long habit of not thinking a national security thing is wrong gives it appearance that it is right.
And therefore, we slip the noose around our own neck. We have to take a really quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guest, Bruce Moran. Bruce is with Security Solutions Technology. It's a veteran-owned company providing federal government consulting, IT professional services, security assessments, and a whole lot more. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. I know what song you're playing, Bob. Classic.
What a lovely way of saying how much you love me. Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it, your face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes. I'm happy knowing that you're having my baby.
You know, come here anyway and stay and demand to be, you know.
Yeah, greatest place in the world to be from, huh?
There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bruce. We've been screwing around, so we're...
That's all right. Other places, they throw you out on your big butt, you know.
Or they put you in prison, you know.
Oh, that goes without saying. They just open the door and then you go. I mean, people here don't understand... And we had, I was walking down the street yesterday, I was finishing up with a client, and they had the big women's movement going on, and I thought that.
Good grief. Were they all wearing their stupid hats again?
Yeah, but I applaud that in a way, you know, because it's the women's movement, they're getting their feet off the ground. But,
well, I'm a woman, it's ridiculous, and I just say stop it.
Let me.
Hey, why are you here today and not out barking?
You're my train of thought.
Some misogynist, obviously.
But the women out there don't realize that the first woman to actually get the movement going were Bible thumpers.
Ooh, and that's obviously not allowed now.
No. They are the women who were the conservatives. They're the women who were... part of the prohibition. They're the woman who wanted to maintain the moral integrity and fiber of the country. That's my point.
Well, and they actually had, they were actually demonstrating for rights they did not have.
That's
unlike
correct.
Today's movement where they demonstrate for rights they already have. I don't know.
Well,
I don't get the whole point.
Here's the point on that.
Okay.
They're out there and it's being politicized to the extent that a lot of things that were done were already known. And now they want to surface it as a way to maybe try to impact midterm elections.
Right.
And that's what I find to be very disheartening as an American and how we all are supposed to work together, men and women alike, and not separate. And all men I know really respect women, you know, and have a deep understanding of who they are and part of our culture. You know, I had a ma, you know. My ma was a good ma. You know?
Well, and obviously,
here's what I'm saying.
Everyone's created equal except for white men, so well, Bob, Bill, and Bruce,
that's
you're
politically correct, liberal, left, you know, doctrine, but what I'm trying to say is when they come face-to-face with the reality of finding a husband and, you know, settling down, having kids, going to school, you know, owning a car, you know, buying a home, all that. That takes a little bit more than just walking out into a field, a park, and demonstrating. You have to have substance. You have
right.
to have understanding of economic freedom. You have to have understanding of what our founding fathers gave to our country in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You have to understand what the Civil War was about. We have a loss of our civic understanding of our country. We have a loss of our history. And that's not being told to the people that are out there protesting. They're protesting there on emotions. They're protesting on feelings that are askance from a lot of what needs to be done in real life to, you know, to get yourself going in society, in the civil society, in opportunity society. That's what I'm talking about. The structure and what they're dealing with is taken out of context and putting into a frame where they're using it for political purposes.
Yeah, and I think that's really, in the long run, is going to backfire on them. I mean, when you look at folks that do the hiring for a lot of these corporations and even small business.
Even if they're women.
If I
was still hiring people,
if you were HR and you're a woman, yeah, you would be concerned about the future of your company by hiring somebody who could turn the whole thing upside down because they didn't like the way somebody looked at them. And you can just avoid all of that by not hiring. And I hired somebody that is very smart.
I got you two guys going. That's good. Yeah. That's the way I think, too. But we have to think on their behalf of how bad
really
are
like
they
to
end
much.
Up thinking that way and not being educated properly and running around talking like that in their 20s.
But why can't they see the long-term effect of this? I mean,
they don't understand that yet. And we're talking about a problem that's endemic in our society where people are not in touch. They don't talk eye to eye with enough people. They're communicating virtually. Their friends are done on Yahoo and Twitter.
But a lot of these women are way old enough to know better. These are kids.
You're giving them their world is different than ours, though. That's what I'm trying to convey. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have compassion for them, which I do, but
I'm saying better person than
they need to. They need to grow up.
Hey, there you go. Now we're circling the target.
They need to understand what the real world is about.
Actually, my father had a wonderful expression.
A job that you're not going to give a trophy for everything you do.
Yep.
You make mistakes, you have to pay for those mistakes. But if you make mistakes and correct them, then you can go on and do better things.
And
that's what economic freedom is about.
That's right, and
that's
don't be
how
a weak
you
sister.
And make a living through economic freedom, through a civil opportunity society. You're not given opportunities because of who you are. You're not enabled because who you are. You know, there's no enabling going on here. You have to work for everything. And you work for everything to make a buck to do better things for yourself and get yourself into a family.
Hey, Bruce, all this, constant, you know, I mean, I really think it's a big masquerade as an anti-Trump thing. I mean, they claim it's a women's march, but we all knew they threw that together because it was supposed to be celebration for Hillary, who didn't get elected. So, okay, now it's the big anti-Trump thing.
Yeah, it moves from one thing to the other. You're saying. It transits because they need a
and then they purposes. Yeah, then they pretend it's about
elections.
Women. So how does that all impact how does it screw up our national security? Where is that intersection?
Because they're not aware of what they need to do to help protect each other when something's going down. More people will get killed. More people will get harmed. More people will suffer.
Because they're not paying attention.
Because we all are responsible for our national security. We're all responsible for our individual sovereignty, liberties, rights, and freedoms. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
They don't understand what country they're living in and respect that, and respect that the citizens, you and I, and Chuck and Francis, who work on these things, we care about them. But they need to care about us and understand what we're trying to do. I don't care if they want to be in opposition to certain things, but they need to know what they're opposing. History's not being properly recorded. It's being rewritten. And, you know, they don't even understand history. They want to do something now. If you look at what Jeff Sessions has to deal with, we're looking at, he has the, you know, Department of Justice, but how do you handle the whole imbalances that are created with social justice? They're taught those things when they grow up, and they think they're right morally in their head. But there's no moral justification by rule of law and how to follow the principles without being educated in the Constitution, without being educated in the Declaration of Independence, without being understanding the basic principles of economic freedom. And that's an educational process that bypassed them. So I'm saying, grow up, you know. You just can't go out and do anything you want because you live in America and we're free. Freedom was paid at many a cost. Many people died for this. Many people suffered for this. Many people lost their homes back in the Revolution. During the Civil War, 2 million people died. They don't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't get the basic facts of how we are as a country and who we are to respect each other. They don't know how to respect other people in a proper and fitting manner. And there's not manners paid respected anymore either.
No,
you know,
no manners.
No manners.
Well, I think, okay, we probably better take a,
okay.
not take a quick break?
Yeah, sure.
Is that not for me, Bob, or not for me?
Not yet.
I mean,
not
we have
yet.
A lot of things to talk about.
I was just going to say, you have the for those people that are not online with us, the 12 living elements of a civil opportunity society. And
Frances and I took 6 months. She worked 45 years at the State Department. She worked at a Marshall plant. She's 90 years old right now. She's one of my mentors and dear friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
I wanted to have her on the air, but she's working with us on the Assyrian stuff, and she put out a heavy-duty thing to go out to the people at the State Department and over at the U.S. Mission in New York. So
you're tapping into knowledge there that most people don't have access to.
Well, that's huge for me.
I just thought...
I mean, she's been my mentor and good friend, and I'm the senior consultant now because, you know, we got to take over and start, you know, taking leadership responsibilities and, you know, talking like I am today, but she's marvelous. And I'll sit there and just listen to her. And the young kids today won't sit there and listen to anybody.
No, because you can sit and listen to her talk about cause and effect. And you know, when you mentioned social justice, I think our State Department anymore, I mean, I thought their job was not necessarily to interpret the law, but to enforce the laws. And I think with the whole social justice thing, I think they're putting a little too much emphasis on reinterpreting everything for present time. I don't.
It's all viewed through the lens of feelings.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you agree with that, Bruce?
Yes. Well, Claire always talked about that, too. I mean, it's about the changing of the mission of the security and intelligence community, too. It's gone across the board where all these sensitivities have to be taken into consideration.
Right. Yeah,
people don't know what I'm talking about.
and when you do that, it skews your ability to enforce the law.
Well, so, you can't have everything at the same time.
No.
So if you're going to add things that don't belong there, you have to get rid of things that do. And those trade-offs, I'm not sure people are accurately measuring the trade-offs that we're making because I'm looking at
Aaron, that's brilliant.
Oh.
Exactly what you said is brilliant.
It is a trade-off. You can only, you know, I guess it's kind of like memorizing things. Your mind can only hold so much. So if you're hung up on all the little stuff, you've missed the big things. But your specific points, you know, constitutions are written with checks and balances. They'd love to get rid of that. Court systems developed and supervised with honest judges who fairly and equally uphold the law for all citizens. An efficient and transparent civil service system. Okay, well, that's all up for grabs. Even-handed system of sheriff and police enforcement is established. Professional military and security forces neutral and impartial. They've politicized the heck out of that, although I think our law enforcement guys are doing
California
a pretty good job.
The federal agents wanting to come in and your attorney general saying no.
Yeah, right.
There we got the, you know, counterbalance.
Well, I mean, and then one that I deal
that?
With all the time. All-inclusive titled property rights are protected and defended. You realize, like, there's this happens all over, but I just one example springs to mind. Because when people think of property rights, they always think of their house. So it's like, well, nobody's taking my house. You're being silly. But in rural parts of the country, water rights are a property right. That is what gives their property value. And we have agents of the federal and state government who, my favorite one is the water balancing project. So they're going to balance the water. It's like, how are you going to do that? Because these people own it. You don't.
According to them.
So you're going to have,
you have not only water, which President Trump addressed, you know, because he wrote his executive order on it, but it's the air rights, too. because those are starting to be part and parcel to
that's true too.
How these are being addressed. It's a very convoluted process, and I work on that too. And it's just it's demeaning to the average individual to know that their property, and we're talking about ranches,
yeah.
We're talking about farms, where we have our sustenance coming into us, are being overridden by the federal bureaucracy.
Sure, not only how they run it and how they how all that works, but even facets of it like a water right, and they think they can just swoop in and take it. And I'll leave the next item 5, Free and Independent Press. Let's pick that up on the backside of the break,
great.
Because that's not a short one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Free and Independent Press.
Well, God bless America.
That was like 8 million years ago. Yes, God bless America. All right, we'll be back with our guest, Bruce Moran. You're listening to We the People. If you'd like to have this list in your hot little hand, you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
The doctor's bill, a lawyer's bill, another cute cheap thrill. You know you love him if you put him in your will, but who will save your soul when it comes to the flowers now? Oh, I'll save your souls at those lies that you told, boy.
Oh, darling, don't you ever grow up, don't you ever grow up, just stay this little. Don't you ever grow up, don't you ever grow up, it could stay this simple. I won't let nobody hurt you.
So we can be snarky like we were when we were kids.
Won't let no one
I like
break
that.
Your heart.
And follow rules that we all understood because they made sense. That are unpopular now.
And they have consequence.
Oh, ooh, oh, that's a dirty
that's
word now.
That's a dirty word.
Bill said the C word. So, Free and Independent Press.
Well, commercial he had was great because it talked about the press and it talked about religion.
Yeah.
And he said, if you're tired of all the liberal left stuff, come to my church.
That was Terry Oxley's spot.
Yeah, that guy's commercials are always well timed on our show.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to belabor the point, but.
Go ahead.
The liberal left doesn't talk about the church.
Well, they do.
They talk about,
but it's all negative.
Anything that has to do with taking down churches or religion, that's front and center. But there's nothing positive that they will start saying that they're doing in the communities. When I was flying overseas during Katrina, I was on a plane with the lieutenant governor, I think it was lieutenant governor from Louisiana, and or a representative, and they were telling me about who was the first responders that came to help the people on the ground during Katrina. Do you know who that was?
Well, I'm just going to take a stab at it, considering the conversation. I'm going to say the local churches.
Yeah, exactly. It was the Catholic ones, too. They were out there, you know,
and we have a winner.
Right. Yeah, Louisiana, you know, I grew up Catholic, so I'm not pushing it, but
yeah, we suck at
I'm
pushing
proud
it.
Of them. You know, we're out there in the forefront. You
As
know,
a fellow mackerel snapper, I know how bad we are at recruitment.
Well, the nuns and the priests really got me straight, so I have a deep respect for them. So,
yes, me too. Every now and then I do something that I think, oh, they would have been proud of that, and then there are the other times where I am happy that they're long gone, because they would have been mad.
So what we're talking about with the Free and Independent Press reigns, let's turn it over to you, and then I'll comment on it.
Well, okay. So actually, oddly enough, I think that discussion about church and morality and the Free Independent Press is really connected. Because, I mean, for many, many years, lying was considered inappropriate. You know, it was called lying. And we got punished for it as kids, and you weren't allowed to do it at work, and you weren't supposed to, you know, bring that into your marriage.
And you immediately lost all your credibility
right.
If you got caught lying. I mean, people didn't believe you.
But we have guys like Brian Williams, poster boy for this particular topic, who is back now on the air as a, quote, news broadcaster who's caught lying for years making stuff up? And we won't even go into all the rest of it, but yeah, it's not immoral anymore to be a liar. If you can hoodwink people into believing things, then you're good to go.
It happens in our politics every day.
I watch all the news stations, you know. I watch Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews and Anderson Cooper, and I like to see what people are saying.
Yeah, I do too.
And where I get the balance is I go to the BBC, or I go to, then I get the foundation when I go to the Wall Street Journal, you know, and Financial Times, because I get to see where there's a large range of opinions, but where do we stay grounded? Where do we find our economic freedom? Where do we find our civil opportunity society for all of us to flourish together? If people understand those basic foundation principles, and I like to go back to the Heritage Foundation and Wall Street Journal, then we don't know how we got to where we are, and we can't appreciate that. We don't have a true appreciation and cherish our country. We just take advantage of it because we're given all these things, and these things really mean nothing in a moral and, you know, ethical environment.
Well, we're told all the time that you know, there are no facts, right? Everything is subjective. So since we've only gotten to item number five, you do have to stick around. So I don't know what you had planned, but, you know, push it off a little bit.
All right.
We're here with our guest, Bruce Moran. He's from Security Solutions Technology. It's a veteran-owned company. Yeah, you know, this is the fun kind of hostage deal. It's just a phone thing. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 of We the People on KCNR, Shaster.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Look at that. We did it twice, like two times, right? Beginning of the show, beginning of the second hour, we all did it right.
Yeah, this hour is sponsored by Team Power, local Kubota John Deere dealer. And now's a good time to give them a call and get your tractor or riding mower in there to get serviced before the grass gets so tall you won't be able to walk through it. And our shop gets so busy you won't be able to get it in. But right now they're running a special on labor. So give them a call, 226-9226.
Not to be confused with the earlier part of the program.
No. No, this is legal labor. Yeah, and you don't need a green card.
But not the maternity kind either.
No, this would be a green grass card you'll
need. Yeah, got a lot of labor going on today.
I-9s are on file.
But yeah. Shop labor is expensive.
That's right, and you've completely fouled my commercial now. But that's
terribly
all right.
Sorry.
But no, give Team Power a call. They'll take care of you down there. Their phone number is 226-9226. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake.
And if you've called before and the voicemail disconnected you, that is stopped now. That was remedied yesterday.
So that's right.
226-9226 will actually get you somewhere this time on the weekend when no one's there.
There you have it.
Ta-da!
That was your Saturday Night Live commercial.
I try so hard to make it right.
I got to tell you, I am helpful. I mean, really and truly, I'm just a helper here. Just.
Yeah,
so who was the sponsor? The last sponsor? We'll give him another plug. No, who was he? Because that sounds like they're really doing the right thing.
Yeah, Team Power. Team Power. Yep, they're the local John Deere Kubota dealer.
Oh, cool.
And, so they've got the two best product lines out there.
Yeah, they love our show.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Orange Power tractors and green tractors. They're the only ones to have. The red ones, boo. His blue, boo.
No, green and orange.
Don't take tractors?
I like Shasta. It's nice up.
It is nice. And,
I've been out there many times.
Got some snow up there, too, now. Not a lot,
here,
though.
We're getting fog today, so. But Panther Meadows is gorgeous out there. I've been up to Sergeant's Pass.
Oh, yeah.
Out there, you know, right on Mount Shasta. So it's one of the most magnificent places and beautiful places in the world.
Yep. This time of the year, it's a winter wonderland. So.
You guys are blessed.
Very nice.
Yes, we always have.
On the other hand, are in Chicago.
Yeah. We'll just let it go. We'll just let that go. Really? How many people? So our guest, chiming in.
We have a nice cultural base, though. I mean, we're talking about the museums and stuff.
You do.
Different.
Yeah, we don't have so much culture here.
Chicago Symphony is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the Joffrey Ballet. But the three things you just spoke about, they're suffering because young people don't support them. That's terrible.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have one of the best symphonies in the whole entire world, and that's not being supported because they just don't go.
See, I was raised by a cellist, so we went to symphony. We were allowed to go sit in the front row when we were three. You had to be three at our house.
Oh, is that nice?
Sit in the front row and watch my mom play the cello.
Your mom's a cellist. Oh, wow, beautiful.
So we listened to cello music our whole life. But you're right. It's
some of the most beautiful music in the,
Yeah, you're right. It's not being promoted these days. And you know, it's interesting because we've referenced the youth of our society and what they're missing. But I got to tell you, I deal with a lot of people who are 65 and up. And the only reason I know that is because they're Medicare folks, and they tell me that. So that gives me an idea of the age range. But they're completely out in left field, too. It's really weird. It seems like the guys in the middle are the ones that are sort of paying attention these days.
So, yeah, it's very sad commentary in our society because there's certain pockets where people are so isolated, or they're involved with a lot of people and they're virtually isolated. I mean, there's a virtual isolation going on where they have information coming into them, and then there's people in pockets that are just physically isolated. Both of those two things don't help well,
No.
To help our society, what I'm talking about is the economic freedom part and the...
Sure. Well, the
moral and social values and ethical considerations you have to make. People are just not there to understand other people. They're very self-interested. And I didn't grow up that way, so I feel really... I can say taken aback would be probably a good word, but flabbergasted that they just don't get the simple things like that, that are so practical, that if you help another person or kind and considerate, that's worth more than $1 million.
Yeah. I think, we were talking about the points that you had brought up on your list here, the 12 living elements of a civil opportunity society. And honestly, the free and independent press ties in a lot of these different things. And for those folks out there that don't ever listen to what they consider the opposition, since now everything, nothing's really straight down the middle. Everything is either far left or far right, it seems. But you should be listening to all of it. If nothing else, to make sure that what you believe actually makes sense. And if your belief is never challenged, you'll never know. I speak with a lot of people who, I would never watch Fox, or I would never listen to MSNBC, or whatever the thing is. And I always think, wow, you're missing it.
I grew up listening to classical music, jazz, blues, Cajun, country western. That's how I grew up. I don't think it's any different than listening to different news stations and seeing what they have to say. But I do it for a different reason, as you know. But I think you're leaving yourself in a, like I was saying earlier, in a vacuum or isolated because you're not knowing what's going on in your world and you don't know what you have to deal with. What I call that, and when we do national security, it's your situational awareness has to be fully intact to know what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with and what they're dealing with and how to deal with them.
I think a lot of people have difficulty when they you take the news for an example. They listen to CNN, MSNBC, and then they flip over to Fox and get almost a direct opposite report on the same subjects, and they don't know who to believe, so they go to their next source, which is friends and family. What do they believe? And I think that's where they end up grabbing a hold of whatever their social network is.
Sure. Well, even look on social media. Look at how many people have unfriended anybody who disagrees with them.
Right.
So now even their social media is
right.
skewed just to
but
one.
But I think what Bruce is saying is so true. If you don't listen to both sides,
yep, you don't.
You can't have an opinion. If you're going to listen to one side of the argument, I mean, you can have an opinion, but it's going to be a misinformed opinion. Unless you listen to both sides and think for yourself. There's no independent thinking anymore. We're like lemmings.
It's a collective.
The group think anymore, and we promote that. We promote that in the schools. In our education system.
It's on Twitter and Facebook. they have that consciousness. That's the virtual world. That's I would say Congress's groupthink, you know.
Yeah.
But they're more like that.
Yeah, you don't want to be ostracized by your peers, so you go along. And I've just never been that way.
Well, I'll tell you, for people who...
sure, it's huge. That's right.
For the people who would agree with the types of things that, you know, the vantage point we're taking today, for people who have a difficulty dealing with those folks that come at them from this, you know, social justice thing and all that stuff, and they're like, what is with these people? There is
we have to give them credit, too, for not dealing with them, because some of these people are abrasive, they're in your face.
Oh, yeah.
They want you to follow their way. If you're not with them, you're against them.
Well, it always ends with a personal
right.
attack, too.
And
so
for them to think that way, it's okay. We have to give them... I don't think I want anybody to be in my shoes to deal with what I'm dealing with, but not everybody has, you know, moved to, you know, making decisions about, you know, how to deal with all these composite problems we're talking about. I mean, we got different pockets in the United States that think differently, you know, and that's what happened in the last election. We went to our base, we went to our dear-hearted people, and they supported a person, you know, President Trump, who had the moral values, you know, that they were believing in. He just went last week, talked about religious freedom, you know, and that's important to us as a country. That's what George Washington talked about, that he was, you know, gifted, and he looked to God the Father. You can look it up. There's like four or five quotes from George Washington talking about God and providence. I mean, there's more about providence, but, I mean, our founding fathers, and especially George Washington, talked about that. And today, we're not even directed that way. And that's why we have people who are so different, because they're brought up secular. They think that religion or anything like that is bad, or people are out of touch, and they make fun of them, you know?
Yeah.
That's bad. You should respect them. I'm one of them.
I are one.
All right, I'll give you another shot.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm saying God bless them, but if we turn the other cheek all the time, and this is what other people are probably saying, they're going to take advantage of us and they'll run ramshot over us.
Yeah.
And let that happen.
There's a guy that I found last week, maybe week before. I came across a video. He's got quite a bit online. His name is Jordan Peterson, Peterson, and he's a professor at the University of Toronto. I'd love to have him on the show, but he appears to be everywhere, so I'm not sure I can make that happen. But in the absence of that, I linked one video, and you could find tons from that, but the insanity of social justice. He takes on these really, really contentious topics, and he's extremely measured, never gets upset, never hurls insults or any of that, and I'll tell you what, the guy's a master.
Not a very good debater, is he? He doesn't insult anybody.
So if you would like, you know, for those people out there that are like, well, I just don't have these discussions because it makes me angry, and I always get, you know, wrapped in my own rope and hung by the you're a bigot, you're a racist, and then this guy...
Homophobic.
This guy's a good...
Homophobic.
Yeah, he's a terrible...
Claustrophobic.
It's no can do. Yeah, this Jordan Peterson guy, really, I got to say, he hit... I looked for, like, the most, you know, the most hot-button things. Oh, he had reporters interviewing him that were just ridiculous, and this guy never... loses his cool, but he always, at the end, you walk away going, all right, he had like the smarter argument. So if anybody's looking for tools, I would point to him. He's fantastic. Okay, so let's go back to our, Bob's giving me the high sign. Dang it.
Okay. Talked right up to the break, didn't you?
And I didn't even know. I was all caught up in it.
I'll bring you back to Frances because this is where she comes in.
Yes.
You have a Ukrainian audience, is that correct?
Yes, we have a lot of people in the Ukraine that listen to the show.
Okay, then I'll talk about that.
Nice.
European.
All righty. Okay. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my give a damn's busted.
They performed with great virtuosity, and soon they were the rage. But political animosity prevailed upon the stage. Well, the one on the right was on the left, and the one in the middle was on the right, and the one on the left was in the middle, and the guy in the rear burned his driver's license.
When was that?
That was early Johnny Cash.
The curtain had ascended.
Some things never change, huh?
Well, it was ahead of its time.
There's always music for it. So, back to Francis's list. Free elections are held with independent commissions.
Well, let's bring in the European Union.
Called
Europe, because it wasn't the European Union until later. You know, how did you think they evolved? Do you have any?
How did they turn into the European Union?
What was similar today than they had in their time? Can you think of anything that would bring forth a idea about America involved over there?
Well, I think they didn't they originally.
I used to have these conversations with my dad.
A common currency and you know no borders and. I think that's where they got all tangled up, isn't it?
Well, that's more current.
That's where they sold their soul.
Think that Francis. You know, you don't know about Francis. She's just a gem of information and just full of insights. Francis worked on Make Europe Strong, Great, Secure, and Free Again.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No.
Did you know they had that program?
No.
Wait, I was just going to ask you, when was that?
Called the Marshall Plan.
Oh, yeah. Our Marshallness is low. Got it.
And they didn't keep the administrators in the Marshall Plan in the State Department because they knew it would be a conflict with them. They kept them outside. That's where Francis worked, with Paul Hoffman and Avril Harriman. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and how long ago was that?
That was in the late 40s, early 50s, when they were getting the Marshall Plan off the ground and got it established.
Mm-hmm. After World War II.
That's why I want to say there were riots going on all over Europe. There were communists trying to take over the government and socialists. They were broke. And we came forth as a compassionate nation to help Europe get back on its feet.
So it could ultimately turn right around and shoot its own self in the back.
Or not respect Americans.
Well, then there's that.
See, that's the big thing right there is...
But that's what I'm talking about, economic freedom. They had economic freedom right in their hands, and they gave it away. They had a civil opportunity society right there, and they shoved it out the door.
Yeah, do you think they're willing at this, or getting to the point where maybe they're rethinking some of that yet?
It's called Brexit.
Yeah.
Well, look at and Germany. Germany, I think, knows they went down the wrong road, but I think they're so far down it, I don't think they can get out of it, can they?
They're all tied into what's called the European Union.
Right.
They all want to have individual sovereignty, but they're a bunch mixed match of political correctness all together, you know.
Right.
That's the problem. What they were doing, they found unity in numbers, but they could all vote individually at the UN. Where the United States has 50 states, but they all don't vote individually. We have one country. So they could do there what we couldn't do here and get a collective, and then they started accepting more and more communalism, collectivism, you know, mm-hmm. the kinds of socialism programs that later became known as the precautionary principle and harmonization, and that became part and parcel to part of the UN's, you know, policy. So what we're talking about here is we gave them the strong footing to carry on back in the 40s and 50s, and they turned it around on themselves. Economic freedom and for a civil opportunity society. And that's a real shame. Oh, that's really unjust for the people of Europe.
And it is socialism, isn't it? I mean, they took their entire economic freedom and put it all in one pot. And
now you're talking, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. And now,
I'm listening now.
and now they've got this big mash of countries that some are paying for all, and nobody's happy. And I don't see how the EU can survive, and it certainly wouldn't survive if Germany decided that it was a failed experiment and pulled out. That would be the end of the EU, as far as I'm concerned. Am I far off there?
I'm listening. You're educated. Those are erudite words.
Well, and I do think that that's where President Trump poses a huge threat to the people that have watched this process, because I really do think they thought their collectivism was right around the corner. 8 years of Obama set it up really well.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know what I'm aiming towards.
Yeah.
The president is doing the right things, and they just don't like it. What did he say about NATO?
He's taking names.
No, they didn't like what he said about NATO. They got to, you know, throw some bucks into NATO. We're not going to. What do you say about the United Nations? Same thing.
Right.
And, you know, they just don't like the words because it's going against their control and power influence worldwide, and it's starting to diminish.
Right. Right.
And they just don't like it.
And we're the great protector, you know, and I guess I don't understand how it got this far down the road where we pay for everything, we rebuild everybody, we get everybody in, you know, financial good shape over there, and then they all hate us for it, and now we have to foot the bill for programs in countries that don't even like us anymore. How do we get away from that?
That's why I wrote those... Francis and I developed those 12 elements so this can be a guiding post, mm-hmm. you know, checklist for the State Department, so how we're going to handle it. Because we have to be careful on who we give monies to, because there's all kinds of things going on. Asymmetrical warfare, you know, there's the jihadists.
Right.
There's other kinds of groups there that just join together that just hate the United States. So,
well, and on the flip side, you have to be careful who you cut out of the mix too, because the same thing's going to happen. That void's going to be filled, and you know, like it or not, we have to keep our hand in some of these countries to keep the bad, you know, actors out. But man, it's hard to.
It's called AFRICOM. We're already doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm talking State Department. You're talking military. See the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have an AFRICOM unit that does that. Yeah, we're already engaged. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. So we have two budgets, military and state. I'm talking about the State Department and how we allocate monies to those regions.
Right.
You know, and what we need to do to make sure that... See, if we give monies from the State Department to areas in those regions and the leaders just use it for themselves and keep doing the same things, you know, promoting terrorism or anti-American sentiment, we're not doing the right thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you say, there needs to be a balance. And some of them are finer balances like you're talking about, but on the whole, we can make pretty good judgments.
Right. You know? And I don't think a lot of these countries can really afford, I mean, when they step back and look at you know, their financial picture. They can't afford to have us back away from them. So I would think that their rhetoric would calm down a little
bit. Excuse me, Bill. Is this Face the Nation now?
Just trying to make sense of this.
This is Face the Nation?
Oh, that makes us old. Do they still have Face the Nation? Isn't that gone now?
No, I think it's still on Sunday morning.
Oh.
Okay. On CBS.
Oh, that's why I don't see it.
There's also Meet the Press. I have two names for it. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. And when I don't like it, I say I just saw Meet the Mess.
Or meet the Depressed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think, do we have to, yes, we do. We have to have another little celebration of capitalism.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with our guest, Bruce Moran. Hey, talk to us about the government shutdown when we come back from your perspective, because we haven't talked really about border security, and that's kind of all tangled up in this.
I know, I'm looking forward to some chaos tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah, the chaos is coming. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Burn some furniture in the street.
We gotta get right back to where we started from. Love is good. Love can be strong. We gotta get right back to where we started from.
That's all you're going to get, Bruce. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Until the shutdown.
I forgot to mention earlier, I loved the Motown sound when I grew up, too. Of all this, you know, we were talking about different jazz, blues, and the Motown sound. That was good.
You can't help it but like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to support the government shutdown tomorrow. I'm going to burn my neighbor's car in the street. I think that would be because we were supposed to have chaos, I said.
They said it was chaos.
It was chaos.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and open a fire plug up and flood the streets.
Oh, that's a good one.
There you go.
Yeah. Of course, where you're at, you'll probably just make an ice skating rink.
Yeah, that's what I was aiming at.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Actually, we used to do that when we were kids back there.
I kind of know what I do. I can't be secret about everything.
We'd get the neighbors to all put their hoses out in the backyard because there were no fences. And we had kind of a little seasonal creek that kind of ran along the property lines all the way back through the houses, and so everybody would run their hose back there, and we'd have a pretty good little skating rink getting out of the trees, I'm sure. Can you think about it now?
My cousin would do. He would go and get the wrench and go to the fire plug.
Oh, yeah.
We do this every year. He'd open it up in the prairie by us. We have this big skating rink.
Yeah.
Courtesy of the city.
It's tons of fun. I look back on that, I'm like, oh, let's see, the liability. But the neighbors would all turn their porch lights on in the back so we could see, and I don't know. It was fun. Back when
you know what it was in the summertime?
What's that?
You know what it was in the summertime?
It was the swimming hole?
Nope.
What?
Watermelon patch.
Yeah.
It really was. They used to grow watermelons there. So,
oh, no kidding.
Know. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. You know what you don't do?
Pee there?
No, don't roller skate in a watermelon patch.
Oh, yeah, that too. I feel like I'm on Family Feud. Be there.
Survey says.
Actually, you don't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You don't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But I put them both together to make a
out
of it. But,
yeah, that's right.
The old song, you know. I don't know.
Roger Miller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Leave it to Bob.
Yeah. So let's talk about the government shutdown.
And the whole border security and all that. These guys are like hung up on the wall, like that's the only thing there is. We've discussed with you numerous times, and those shows are linked here.
That's the wall
incorporates lots of other things.
It's just an enormous amount of things that need to be done on the border. I'm talking about identification, processing, you know, guarding different kinds of fences and the wall. I mean, you're going to have to put up a wall on a, you know, probably larger portion, whatever President Trump wants. But, you know, there's going to be fences put up. You need boats because there's the Rio Grande there, you know, other places where there's, you know, water that people can come across. So they're using, and some are using submarines, as you know. There's a whole place there where they have, like, a couple hundred submarines that the drug, you know, cartels use to bring drugs over. So people in Ukraine are probably laughing. Yeah, they were bringing drugs over here in the submarines, so, you know.
Wow.
Wow. Well,
there's the DEA, you know, and the Coast Guard, you know, doing their thing, and, you know, ATF, you know, working their butts off because there's a lot of gun running going on, you know, and it's just a travesty how we're, you know, covering our borders and what needs to be done. So you're asking about all the different things, yeah, and the biometric testing has to be done, and where people are going should be done also, how long they're going to be here, who they're going to be with, you know, tracking. And I don't mean tracking, like, their personal identity, just making sure if they're not felons coming in.
Sure.
And that they have some place to go, and they're going to be staying with somebody, and they're going to, you know, feel secure. Now, if we recall, when I talked about this, was El Salvador, Nicaragua, and I think Guatemala, 70% of the women coming across the border were raped.
Oh,
so all these women coming across are going places. We don't want to be going into houses of you know, prostitution or being used and mm-hmm. abused. And this whole women's movement, you know, we're talking about just basic rights and freedoms being violated coming across our own border. And that's rape.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you'll never hear about that.
So, you know, I mean, there's a, and the kids coming across the border that are used as prostitutes. And, you know, pedophilia, all that kind of stuff. The list goes on. You know, the money laundering. My head's going crazy because what I'm trying to convey here is DACA is a small portion of what needs to be addressed here. It should be put into a larger pot and be fully addressed in and of itself. As part of the larger picture. You know, this is not something simple. And is it being politicized? What I say would be it's not helping our national security interests at all, in the least. So I hope I answer your question.
Tell me this. What's your estimation on why they block all of this?
Midterms.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's several of these things going on simultaneously. I'm watching, you know, over the last 4 weeks.
Right.
I don't want to talk about it, you know, but and it happened for that reason. You know, midterms is coming up, so they start attacking the president on 7 or 8 different fronts.
Sure. And
they want to bring their base together.
And I think that they want to keep this shutdown if they can. Going through the State of the Union so that it throws
a... Yeah, I think the shutdown...
I don't think it lasts that long, but...
It's not an important thing in the sense that they shouldn't be allowed to do it. They have this option, and I think they should be penalized for it. If you saw what Chuck wrote, you know, they should be paid when the government is being shut down while they're in office. They're shutting it down. They're getting paid while the government is shut down. And they should be fined $5,000 per day during the shutdown.
Yeah, it's too bad because for the first time in a long time...
There's no consequences for them.
Well, all 12 appropriations went through the House. They actually did their job. And I don't know how many have gone through the Senate, but obviously not 12. So they can't, you know, they're not actually going to be on a budget again.
We need 60 votes in the Senate.
Yep.
So we didn't get them, and you got to say there's enough Democrats to make it 60. That's what I'm saying. And if they didn't want to make it 60, then there's a problem on the Democratic side of the spectrum, not the Republican side of the spectrum.
Right. Yeah, because you know, everyone. I even heard a reporter this morning, same thing, same old drivel. You control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and you guys should be making sure that the government is open and... I just don't see what's so complicated about the 60-vote thing that people can't follow along with that. that there are 51 Republicans. That's it. You need
most
you need
people to, have no idea it requires 60 votes.
I know, but
the media does a piss poor job of informing everybody.
Yeah,
how it works.
They just keep pushing that through, and I'm like, at some point, are we going to eventually people going to learn that? It just keeps happening over and over. You know, why mm-hmm. isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? There aren't 60 votes.
Why is DACA being brought forth as a major issue at this time?
Well
exactly.
$64,000 question.
North Korea? We got to deal with Syria? ISIS is still running around in the desert. Not that we're dealing with major concerns right now, you know? And how are they thinking about what the president has to do and the country has to be taken care of for national security purposes versus, you know, working on DACA?
Yeah, right. Well, that's
there's a larger concern here of our borders. That's what the president's talking about.
Right.
That's what I was just conveying earlier. And I'll start speaking fancier if you want. But, you know, for me to, you know, elucidate on a point, I would try to say that it's more indicative of us to be pure and simple so the American public can understand the basics of what need to be done. That's what the president's conveying. Than to go into the more, like I was showing you earlier with the 12 elements of what is really done for economic freedom, what the Heritage and the Wall Street Journal are doing, Heritage Foundation and Wall Street Journal are doing, you know, that's a larger picture. That's a strategic picture, and that's a picture that most people aren't involved with. But I wanted to convey that earlier today so people have a different understanding. The president has a lot on his plate. He's dealing with a lot going on simultaneously, and they're making it look like he's not doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why they call it the Trump shutdown, because, you know, he's not doing anything.
Not just talking about the shutdown, or he just did.
But just policy in general.
He's
right.
He's worked on the tax reform. That's the first time in, what, 40 years that we, or 30, I'd say 30... we'll say 30, 35 years, that we've had such a huge change in taxes, you know, 35% to 21%.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Well,
and look at the benefits it's done to the economy.
And
what's happened with the economy?
I think people are starting to realize now, too, that this tax thing is actually not a bad deal. I mean,
yeah, Nancy said it was going to be Armageddon, but
yeah,
I think people are like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, let's move off of that now
Armageddon.
Because it's actually having some positive effects, and they don't want to report on that.
Well, the stock market's only risen since he's been in office.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they said it was going to tank.
Right. Yeah, when you look at all the claims that they made, it's like, okay, well, that's not going to work. The other thing...
Highest it's ever been in the history of the Dow Jones.
Well, and the other thing that you sent us that I did post on here on the page for today, the Department of Health and Human Services announced two major actions to protect life and the conscience rights of Americans. So first, the HHS Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services rescinded guidance from...
That's out of the White House. Yeah, did some really good stuff there. I mean, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, because that in 2016, they restricted states' ability to take certain actions against family planning providers that offer abortion services. You know, they were making everybody offer abortion as an option, and...
Here's religious freedom.
Yep.
You know, we're talking
right.
about. We were just
all
talking about
things.
That earlier. You know, that's that whole, you know, 12 elements, and they need to all be protected for our individual, you know, liberties, sovereignties, and freedom.
Yeah. So you know, and the HHS also has stopped that whole process of forcing them to teach people about abortion, sterilization, and assisted suicide if that's against their conscience, which I can't even imagine that's we even had to have a debate about that, but we did. And so all that is listed in there, too. And unfortunately, that's a huge issue that the left doesn't want to deal with because they're really worked up about the death penalty, but they love abortion, which is just confusing and weird.
Yeah, that's like the craziest thing since...
Yeah,
you know,
I've never been able to understand that.
The apple pie, you know. They don't want to eat mom's apple pie anymore. You say, well, what's about that?
Yeah. Well, and it kind of goes the other way, too. We have a lot of people that are pro-life, that are pro-death penalty, and it's kind of like, okay, I kind of struggle with that, too. You know, life is life at some point, and killing is killing. But
we talk about the stock market, though. I mean, people, they don't want to give him credit for that, but if they take a look at their 401k,
that's right on the money, Bill. Right on the money.
Yeah. They don't say anything about that. It's like they're making money on one side, but they want to, you know, badmouth the other.
Well, unless you're trapped in the retirement system of CalPERS, because they're so brilliant, they refuse to invest in anything connected to firearms or fossil fuels. So their portfolio is sucking.
Too, because a lot of states are broke, right? And their pensions are in the stock market. And many of the union pensions are there, and they're fearful that they weren't going to be paying their union members, and now they're being protected.
Mm-hmm.
Except CalPERS, because they've invested in all the things that don't make money, so they missed the entire stock market boom.
But they're also protecting now because the market rallied. You see what I mean?
Yeah, even in the crummy things they chose.
Yeah.
So what's your guess? I mean, nobody's got an actual crystal ball on this thing, but how long? Okay, so if Trump directs all the agencies not to do what they did in 2016, was to, you know, shut military veterans out of the war memorials and all that crazy stuff. So if all the agencies are directed to, you know, keep going, and you know, they're not allowed to make a big scene about the shutdown, you think that'll shorten the time frame?
I haven't really put any thoughts on it. What I've been thinking about is more is the impact of on the economy and the people, because Congress is isolated from that, and they have no idea how this reverberates throughout society and what they're thinking about and how they're going to make a living. And once you start shutting things down, it starts cutting off contracts. You see what I mean?
Oh, sure.
People are part of government contracts, and they have to distribute their goods to the government, and they use them. Some might be first in, first out. I'm talking about the business side.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Some are, you know, are right on time. So if I'm supplying, say, a government service with food, I'm out of business for a week.
Well, that makes that.
Well, yeah, because that's coming out of your pocket. You supply.
No, you're just not in business at all for a week.
Yeah, sure. You get nothing. So, and then there's the folks that, you know, like you say, they have contracts, and now they're not going to get paid for services they've already provided.
Just the minimal jobs that are working for the government, they shut down, that aren't working.
Right.
They're just getting by.
Well, mm-hmm. Veterans waiting for their claims to go through. I mean, all these different things, the VA clinics and things will all be open, just in case anybody was curious about that. Social Security. What's that?
What's going on with the clinics?
They'll all still be open. The VA has a contingency plan for things like this. So although, like, the claims stuff and some of that behind-the-scenes thing may not be happening. Medical services and that sort of thing for people who are currently receiving those benefits.
You're educating me now, so thank you.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a big one because people worry about it.
I'm asking about Social Security checks, and those are all coming through.
Go through Veterans Disability Benefits, go through Social Security Disability, all that stuff continues on. But some of the other stuff doesn't. We better take one last quick break, and then we will come back. I thought your note in here, we should probably hit that before we let you escape, about the open border and
that's terrible.
And what that offers as advantages to cartels. I don't think people realize that as much as that it's happening as much as it is. So we'll be back with our guest, Bruce Moran, and we'll have another, you know, 10 minutes or so with him. He's a national security advisor with Security Solutions Technology. You can find all the information about him and all the stuff we've been referencing.
The people right here. I'm starting to think Nancy lied to me. There's not going to be a king.
But you can be happy if you've mind to. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. But you can be happy if you've mind to. All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down. Do it, do it, do it. Well, you can't go swimming in a baseball pool. You can't go swimming in a baseball pool. You can't go swimming in a baseball pool. But you can be happy if you've mind to.
would you annihilate us if you had the chance? That's such an antisocial thing to do. You've got a crapping our collective pants. May I suggest you take it down a notch or two? We're not exactly sure why you're upset. Did that Seth Rogen movie make you super mad? You'd like us if you got to know us, I bet. We're mostly harmless, decent people. Hey, we're really not so bad. My point is, please don't nuke us, North Korea. Right now we're all a little tense. Believe me, we don't hate you. Frankly, we don't even think that much about you. No offense. Now you might call us bloodthirsty dogs, but that metaphor's not very apt. We're just a bunch of simple fidget spinning goofy dorks who probably couldn't find your country on a map. No, we're not savages or cannibals. Well, maybe just a really, really, really small percent. So I think it would be best if you'd knock off those missile tests. Don't turn us into sender while we're swiping right on Tinder. Don't jumpstart Armageddon or our bed will soon be wet. Would you think this through for a moment, please? Now why would you bomb our nice celebrities? Or why in the world would you kill Tom Hanks? Cause nobody doesn't like Tom Hanks.
Okay.
So, please don't nuke us, North Korea. That was seriously ruined. I did
the North Korea polka.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was one.
Leave it to Weird Al.
Ah, that guy. How does he remember all that stuff?
Great. That's great.
Yeah.
There's a group of us. We grew up in Chicago together. We had a park we hung around. Remember the people on the bus go up and down, up and down. The people on the bus go up and down all through the town.
Uh-huh.
There'd be 25 guys that hung around together, and we all start going up and down in sequence. And we sing that, and the people in the neighborhood just crack up. And they're, you know, all these tough guys from Chicago, you know, they say, people on the bus go up and down, up and down, the people on the bus.
You guys were Weird Al material.
But, yeah. It was fun, you know.
I guess
some of the guys were my cousins because we all lived in close proximity of each other there. But it was just hilarious because we were able to enjoy ourselves in a different way than the kids are today. You know, we had the prairies, we can roam, and well, I don't want to take too much time away because we got to talk about some nature.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
Bruce, we did get your Can't Roller Skate and a Buffalo Herd song in there before the break.
Yeah,
I hope
you for Roger Miller. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that, Bill.
So for all of us who didn't have the reference there, Bob smartened us up again. Okay, so you have a note in here that says, the open border offers a great advantage to cartels. Mexican cartel takes advantage of the situation. Heroin trafficking from Mexico alone rose to 50%. From being down by about 20% in 2006. And the heroin epidemic cost the U.S. about $181 billion a year. And I thought this was interesting.
This blows my mind all the time.
And for those people who think that this isn't a big deal, illegal drug trafficking in 1 year cost the United States between $200 and $750 billion, which is a giant swing, but kind of hard to quantify. And from the DEA, the five top drug trafficking sentencing districts.
This is what President Trump has been talking about to the end of time, you know, since he got elected. And, you know, Kelly's been talking about
it. Well, there are a lot of people who think that it doesn't have anything to do with the border, but the five top drug trafficking sentencing districts are Western District of Texas, Southern District of California, Southern District of Texas, District of Arizona, and Puerto Rico. I don't see Minnesota on there. North Dakota, Washington, Wyoming, anyone?
See, Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, these are all border states.
And what do you want to lock down a little bit more closely than others? I think it might be the southern border.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And so, using a range, I mean, the Democrats right now with this shutdown thing are focusing on the wall, you know, and the wall is ineffective, but you've made it pretty clear that the wall includes a whole lot of things, not just a physical wall. It includes all sorts of facets, but it's about stopping that migration across the border, humans and drugs.
Yeah. Well, just take this into consideration. Chuck and I talked about this, but the con- construct a wall or fences or, you know, a whole slew of things and make it done within a year and a half or two, depending on what kind of program you want to put in. We're thinking, you know, $12 to $20 billion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much is coming across the, you know, how much is going on illicit drug trafficking in the United States?
Oh, yeah.
$200 to $700
billion. Billion. $750 billion.
Yeah, look at what the proportions are to what we want to do to stop it, to what's going on in the States.
Wow.
That's one of the measures that the president wants to take. And Kelly was head of, you know, DHS, to make sure that the, I'm talking about the chief of staff now, has in place to ensure the protection of our citizens.
Well,
and I'm not just talking about physical protection, I'm talking about the opioid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's huge.
All these things have to be done, and we have to start returning these folks, and it's not... none of that has to be done in order to, you know, get the budget handled. I mean, obviously.
Well, Bruce, thanks for coming on today.
That was a fast hour.
Enjoy,
I mean,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, 2 hours.
I knew we couldn't do this in an hour. That was silly. I don't know what we were
thinking.
Well,
I wasn't, you know, I love being on the program, and you're wonderful people. God bless us all. God bless America. Thank you for having me. Hello to the people in Ukraine. God bless you. East Coast tomorrow. You're the best, too.
And we've got all Bruce's previous shows and with all the fun guests that he's brought along with him listed on the page. So please head to wethepeopleradio.us. You can catch all that and forward this to your friends so they can listen later. Thanks a million, Bruce.
Okay, thank you, too.
Be good.
God bless you guys.
God bless you, Bruce. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.